Chicago's home for sports. Now, by your side through your smart speaker. Just tell it to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Morning, another Sunday morning. Beautiful day in Chicago. This is ESPN 1000. Mark Zander, Brian Hanley here. What a boring weekend of baseball. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about, Brian.
Well, you know, not only are things happening between the lines and outside the lines, it also seems like we've just been, especially when you talk about the White Sox, I guess the Cubs to a degree, we've just been kind of running in place for the last month or so, haven't we? I mean, every time I look at the standings, the Sox are just a game behind.
Running to stand still, I think they call that.
Yeah. I mean, okay, the problem is they've dropped a game and a half. But, you know, they were three games back in second place for, like, the last 3 or 4 weeks. Every time we got together to talk on the weekends, it was like there were still three games back of the Minnesota Twins, right?
Yep.
And now they're four and a half, but they're still in second place. But Cleveland's only a half game back. But just – It's got that feel of what is the goal here? What's the point of the exercise? Are they ever going to hit the accelerator at some point? And then I was completely wrong when I told Jesse a week or so ago that the Cubs weren't going to win four straight again. I didn't see it. And then they went, and then the Pirates came to town. But then they've lost four straight. So it's just a lot of the wheels are spinning, but we're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, no traction.
Yeah.
Well, for the Southsiders, and obviously there's a storyline that we will be getting to. We're not ignoring that. It's kind of hard to do that. But the storyline on the South side, you know, we're playing the Yankees. We're going to play Boston. They're starting to hit now, as we thought that they would come around. You're looking at the box score yesterday. Aside from Adam Engel, who was in all game, and Moncada, who came in to pinch hit, everybody got a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Anderson with a couple, Pollock with a couple, and everybody else was on the board for one. Of course, we saw Jose Abreu get a 3-1 run home run. So things are starting to turn just a little, not fast enough. That's for sure. Not fast enough, and the results aren't showing. And yesterday, Keuchel giving up that grand slam was the difference. And the talk about Keuchel's, here we are, back in it, right? You know, we have Cueto, who looked great on his first time out.
Absolutely.
He's
going to
pitch today. Lance Lynn will come back at some point, but they put him on the 60 days, so it's not going to be anytime soon. But when he does, there are some decisions to make, and we're talking about Dallas again and what his future looks like for the White Sox.
Well, and here's this for the first time this season, I started seeing on Twitter, Mark, Sox fans unhappy. Not with just the results, but complaining about the product, like it's almost unwatchable. It's not entertaining, right? And see, and that's a problem. I mean, on the north side, a lot of times it's not entertaining. It's not watchable. And then during the 4-game win streak, they had some young guys who you might want to get interested in a little bit. But Suzuki has not been as advertised, and certainly not as good as he was the first few weeks of the season. But it's the first time I've heard Sox fans openly criticizing the product as if not only are you unhappy because they're not winning enough and they're just kind of running in place, but now it's, I don't know if it's a likable team, an unlikable team, but it's an unlikable product because there's just enough wrong with a lot of different areas that you don't, when you sit down and watch a game, you're not entertained. Yeah.
Right. Right.
I mean, they're 3-for-13 with runners in scoring position yesterday.
Yes,
right?
We talked about that. That has been a major Achilles heel for this team.
Well, we talked last week, one for 18 with the bases loaded.
Right. I mean, it's all a symptom of the same thing. We're getting on base and we're not capitalizing on base runners, which you're not going to have success when you don't do that.
Yeah.
Half the time.
The first time I heard fans just complaining about not wanting to watch. It's just not a fun team to watch, let alone is a team good enough to win the division, let alone contend for a World Series. But now it's like, we got a lot of guys, we got a lot of DHs playing out in the field. We got but now people are just openly.
Now, when you've seen this, Brian, were they being specific as to why it's not entertaining. Obviously, home runs are entertaining, but we know that that's been down across the league and the inconsistency with the ball and all of these things to talk about.
Yeah, we went over the lack of home runs and lack of scoring last week with the John Grachowski piece in the Sun-Times, but it was more of, and paraphrasing, that they're like robots. There's not enough energy. There's not enough motion. Now, is it Tim Anderson, Josh Donaldson, is that misplaced emotion? It's emotion. I mean, he reacted. But the team as a whole doesn't have a sense of urgency. It doesn't bring it every day. It just seems like, I think the one Twitter, I'd have to go back and look, but basically they're going through the motions and it's not good enough.
Well, no, it's not good enough. And you're right. It's not as entertaining as it should be. But what happened yesterday, which obviously we're going to dive into, could be a sparking point. And we'll see. It's good to have enemies. We talked about this very guy last week.
Yep.
Josh Donaldson. Now, on ESPN on SportsCenter this morning, as I got up and I was watching it, the reporting isn't exactly what I think it should be as far as what happened last week and even the national show leading into our show today. You know, it depends on how you look at it, right? But last week, nobody's mentioning that Josh Donaldson put his knee into the side of the head of Tim Anderson as he was pushing him off the base. There's those little things, right? And Josh Donaldson is as advertised. He's an agitator. I don't think anybody could go to bat for this guy, pun intended, saying he's not an agitator. Of course he is. That's what he's known for. And what happened yesterday, and it doesn't matter how people take it, it's really how Tim took it, because he was the target of it. What happened yesterday is just par for the course with this guy.
Yeah, but also earlier in the week, Tim Anderson's going after Ozzie Guillen.
Oh, and you know what? I thought up until yesterday when that whole thing happened, it's like, boy, I look forward to talking about that. And that's almost a forgotten story now.
It's almost a forgotten story. But the point is, you know, how much energy does TA spend dealing with things he can't control or worrying about things? Not the Josh Donaldson's a different category.
Yes,
but like
with
the Ozzie Guillen stuff. You know, I don't know if he was actually watching it in the clubhouse and reacted to it.
Or somebody told him about it.
Yeah,
I agree. And look, I agree with you. That was ridiculous. And if you and I could sit Tim down, it'd be like, you know what, that kind of stuff, don't worry about it. Ozzie's got a job. He's a loudmouth. He's always been like that. Read articles. Get to know who this guy is. He's been in Chicago since the early 80s. This is what he does. Yeah. Just roll with it.
And that's what he's supposed to do, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. That's his job. Yeah. That's what he gets paid to do.
But you know, Tim needs to worry about the team being one game under 500 for the last 5 weeks, you know, being basically a 500 team and a team that's 5-10 against winning teams and not being good enough. And, you know, there's things that he can't control. And he's the face of the organization. You know, that Josh, we'll get into the, you know, Josh Donaldson's explanation and Tim's and Grandal and everybody.
And Tony.
Yeah, but the bigger picture as part of this is, you know, does something need to be changed? Tony La Russa, you know, people were saying that on Twitter, and I said last week, you know, Tony's not getting fired. I can't believe Jerry Reinsdorf would allow Rick Hahn to launch Tony. Not that that would cure all the ills of the White Sox, but a lot of Sox fans, I would say, dare say the majority, and I would check your pulse on this, are you satisfied that he's the guy that's going to get you, you know, close to a World Series or in the World Series, let alone win a World Series? And doesn't matter if the owner's not going to move anyway. But, you know, both sides of town, I know fans are unhappy with ownership. They're unhappy with the front office. And now I dare say on the south side, they're unhappy with the players themselves. And on the north side, most of us don't even know who the majority of the players are, because it's not relevant.
And that's another and different source of frustration.
Yep, absolutely.
312-332-3776. You know, going deeper into the Tim Anderson Ozzie thing. You know, last week, and Ozzie can say whatever he wants to say, and I know Tim is a leader of this team, but something that I haven't heard, me personally, anybody bring up, is the fact that this team is good enough, they have to learn to win even if Tim is resting.
Yep.
See, to me, that is an obvious point that hasn't been talked about. So Tim can take offense, and Ozzie can say whatever he wants, but this team any team has to be able to win when one of their stars are being rested. We have enough talent to do that, and that is a big storyline right there.
Absolutely, Mark, because Dexter Fowler, Joe Madden would say, he go, we go. It's great. It's cute. It's fun. You want to believe it. And Tim Anderson, they have a much better record when he's out there playing than when he's not in the lineup. But that can't be a crutch mentally or whatever. I mean, spoken or unspoken, you can't. Oh, TA's not playing, therefore, we're in trouble.
Right.
It can't be that.
And I'm not sure that Ozzie gave him a lot of credit and said he's a leader of the team, and that's all fine and great. But there's no way he's playing 162. So the point is, they have to win without him. They have to find a way to win without him. And do they have enough talent to do that? Absolutely.
Do they?
I think they do.
Okay, I'd love to hear from Sox fans.
312-332-3776. Look, okay, with Aloy out, no matter what you think, but all in, nobody, no big major main players on the IL. Yes, we have enough talent to be able to win without a TA in the lineup for a day.
Well, Tony said this week that they were going to, fix this thing batter by batter. And I mean, I don't know if he's going to be able to fix it batter by batter because people are questioning the approach, questioning the batting, the hitting coach and all the things you do when your team doesn't look like, when they're not scoring enough. Now, yesterday, okay, great. You get the 3-run home run and you needed that, but because Keuchel gave up the LeMahieu grand slam. But on an average basis, on a weekly basis, their offense isn't near good enough.
Right, and look what we just talked about. I mentioned that there were Angle and Mankata pinch hitting were the only ones that didn't hit. Yet we only scored 5. We stranded some people. That's the big deal. So
he stranded 9 runners yesterday.
Right. And this is fascinating because it's like, okay, they're hitting to get on base, but then they're not hitting when the opportunity is there to knock in some runs. And is that because of pitch choice? Is that because they're too antsy at the plate? We saw last week how Tim Anderson has been swinging. And there's a guy who, if I were Tony, be like, okay, you get a good pitch to hit, swing on the first pitch. But not everybody can do that. Tim is a hitter. Right. So with that said, you've got people getting on base. But when it counts and there are people in line to score, they're on the bases. They're not delivering. So what's the difference there? It's the mental, it seems.
Well, we've had passionate Sox fans call in and say that the White Sox and Rick Hahn in particular did not do near enough in the offseason. And, one was very adamant that, letting Rodon go was a big deal, but we're not talking about offense at that point. So if they didn't do enough in the offseason, are they going to do enough by August 2nd, the trade deadline, to fill in whatever holes they have here? And, how many holes do they have?
Right.
Do you believe that when healthy, they're good enough to contend for a World Series, even though it just doesn't look like all the wheels are spinning in the right direction for most of the
part. No, they're not in sync. And we talked about this last week. They definitely are not in sync. 312-332-3776. Talking White Sox, we get to the whole Josh Donaldson mess as well when we come back. It's Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
What'd you see from Dallas? Dallas.
I'm just not quite sharp. He walked that leadoff hitter, and he just wasn't quite as sharp.
What's your take on the beat between Donaldson and Anderson there?
Got any other questions?
Nothing to say about that, Tony.
Well, who are you with?
The Star Ledger?
Yeah, well, I mean, I talked to the Chicago Press, because I don't... He made a racist comment, Donaldson, and that's all I'm going to say.
That's pretty strong.
That's as strong as it gets.
Is that in the third inning? The first inning?
Do you hear me say that's all I'm going to say? You know what that means? That's all I'm going to say. It doesn't need any more explanation than that.
Hey, you know what? Yeah, you got to love the way Tony responded there. I do as a Sox fan. He's backing up his players. Yeah, whatever his assertion was, Brian, he's backing up his players, and he's got some attitude. I like that. myself. 312-332-3776.
He's definitely old school. I mean, he doesn't.
So am I.
You know, he goes. Yeah. I remember, I mean, years and years ago when he blew up at the AP writer and, you know, was screaming, be a man, be a man. And that'll, I mean, it, that's, you know, it, I think Sully, Paul Sullivan wrote the 50 Shades of Tony La Russa, because he can be the most positive guy in the dugout and he can be the most stern guy and the most difficult guy. I mean,
and not all the time does it really make sense. That whole Mercedes thing last year, I think, disappointed some fans that he was, you know, dogging his own player.
Yeah, especially a guy who'd been a career minor leaguer and was having this unbelievable start. And then, but it's, you know, it's interesting because, and we should hear, so it was a racist comment. Josh Donaldson said, no, it wasn't. And we should hear from all sides.
We're going to go down the
Are we going to hear from MLB is investigating the whole incident? Are we going to hear from anyone today? Should Josh Donaldson be playing in either game of the doubleheader? If you're the Yankees, do you take any kind of disciplinary action against your own player before MLB does? Because if in fact it was a racist comment, and if you're a teammate of Josh Donaldson, how are you feeling today?
You know, Boone has said that he is going to look into it. And I think that was the smart way, you know, not coming out to defend him. Just that was the smart way to do it. And I would suspect that Boone is smart enough to not start him in the first game, if at all play either one of the games of the doubleheader, but definitely not have him in the lineup for game one. And I don't think the MLB is going to come down with a decision by game time. I find that highly unlikely. 312-332-3776. Here's what TA had to say post game.
Timmy, able to take us through what went on there with Donaldson and that?
Yeah, he just made a disrespectful comment. Basically was trying to call me Jackie Robinson. Like, what's up, Jackie? I don't play like that. I don't really play at all. I wasn't really, bothering nobody today, but, he made a comment, and, it was disrespectful, and I don't think it was called for, as an essay.
That was when you guys crossed past the shortstop there at the end of the third?
Yeah, but that happened in the first time he got on, and I spared him that time, and then it happened again. It was just uncalled for. I got time to, be playing like that.
How did you manage to continue, though, that kind of comment?
I don't know, to be honest. It was very disrespectful. You don't want to play like that.
You call it disrespectful. Tony just said it was racist. Is that accurate?
Same along that same line, yeah.
You know, Brian, the one thing that really jumps out in that clip was that Donaldson pursued him twice.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we know who Josh Donaldson is. He had issues. He confronted Giolito last year in the parking lot. So we know who this guy is, right?
Yeah, over the when they were, the MLB was cracking down on gorilla.
Not gorilla glue, but spider tack.
Yeah, spider tack, and he was screaming.
Gorilla glue is a whole different problem. You're not throwing the ball if you've got gorilla glue on your hands.
you're going with the ball.
Yeah.
No, it was after Giolito gave up a home run to him, and he was screaming, "It's no longer sticky!" as he rounded the bases,
right.
Accusing Giolito of needing the help of spider tack.
Josh Donaldson is just that pesky gnat, and the thing is, as TA said, he pursued him a couple times. Now let's think about this, right? There are plenty of things, terms, adjectives, names you can call somebody. Many that we can't say on the air here. That would have no racial connotation at all, right? He could have came up to Tim and just been the gnat that he is and called him a D-bag or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that has no racial...
Not a D-back.
A D-bag. And nothing... this would not have... Look, would they have had words or whatever? Sure, whatever. But none of this. And then Josh just... easily refers to the article where Tim had mentioned that. Josh had this planned. Josh knew how to explain this or try to explain this away. That's who I think that guy is.
Yeah, and then let's take a listen, because he does reference, he said he's been doing this with Tim Anderson prior to yesterday, and Tim Anderson never reacted, but yesterday he got a reaction.
All right, John, so first inning I called him Jackie, so let me give you a little context of that. 2019, he came out with an interview, said that he's a new Jackie Robinson of baseball, he's going to bring back fun for the game, right? And 2019, when I played for Atlanta, we actually joked about that on the game. I don't know what's changed from, and I've said it to him in years past, not in any manner than just joking around for the fact that he called himself Jackie Robinson, you know. So, you know, if something has changed from that, like my meaning of that is not at any term trying to be racist by any fact of the matter. It was just off of an interview that what he called himself. And when we said that before, we joked about it, he laughed, whatever. As you could tell in our series that we've played, there's been multiple times where I've tried to defuse the situation. Like I took responsibility for the tag, wasn't trying to do anything there. Like today, just trying to defuse it. Like, hey, like make light. Like, hey, we're not trying to start any brawls or anything like that. Obviously, he deemed that it was disrespectful. And look, if he did, I apologize. Like, that's not what I was trying to do by any manner. That's what happened.
So is that apology enough for people? Because Josh tried to explain it away and apologize. But again, when you pursue somebody, he said he's been doing it for years.
Well, that's,
okay, when's the joke over? I mean, you know, he's been doing this for a while. What's the purpose of that?
But if Tim Anderson didn't react and he's been doing it for years since, first of all, the fact that he still remembers a Sports Illustrated article from 2019.
Yeah, he's a little fixated on Timmy.
Yeah, he files things away with as many players as he can so he can get under the skin. But if you take him at his word and they've laughed about it before, or Tim didn't seem to be disturbed by it before, if he does it again, yesterday, and Tim does react, and you have, you know, the team's meeting at home plate and all that, you know, does his explanation mitigate anything if you're MLB or the Yankees? If you take him at his word that he's been doing this for years, was it a racist comment?
That's
in 2020?
The thing. You have to take Josh Donaldson at his word. I mean, let's just think about that right there.
Well, I mean, he seemed like he stood there and let me give you some context, and he just gave you chapter and verse.
Right.
I don't doubt that he's been doing it since the article came out.
And another point, Brian, is that Tim, they had that exchange, but nothing happened until Grandal stepped in.
Yep.
And that's when it blew up. And let's listen to Yasmani.
This game went through a period in time where a lot of those comments were made, and I think we're way past that. And it's just unacceptable. So I just thought it was a low blow. And, you know, I want to make sure I got my team's back. There's no way that you're allowed to say something like that. It's just, like I said, unacceptable.
Did he deny saying it?
Well, what do you think? I mean, you deny it too. I mean, it's all about he, she. But, I mean, you can go ask him. I'm sure he's going to deny everything. And then maybe go on Twitter and tweet something out, just like he did with Giolito. Last year, but I guess he lives in his own world.
That is Yasmani Grandal post game after he had a talk with Josh Donaldson, which resulted in the benches emptying and the people coming in, the players coming in from the bullpen. 312-332-3776 at 11. We're going to talk to Jesse about his point of view as to what he thinks that MLB may or may not do. And we haven't seen the lineups come out yet, so we're not sure, you know, what the Yankees lineup is going to look like, or the White Sox for that matter. But there is a doubleheader today. First pitch at 2:05 in game one. Tyler Aki will bring you the pregame at 1:30 here on ESPN 1000. We'll come back from the break and open up the phone lines 312-332-3776. If you want to talk about that, what does MLB do? What do the Yankees do? And if nothing happens, maybe this is just a sparking point for the White Sox, who seemingly have not been a cohesive group and haven't had that spirit to them. 312-332-3776. It's Hanley and Zander. This is ESPN 1000. We'll be back in a bit.
It's here and it's spectacular.
The all-new ESPN Chicago app. This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000, Brian Hanley, Mark Zander. Yeah, there was a little bit of a stir up on the in New York for the Southsiders, and we're talking about it here this morning. We're going to have Jesse Rogers join us at 11 a.m. He will certainly have his point of view as to what the MLB may or may not do, the timing of such, and what we may expect to see in today's game. I think our very own Cap called for a 98-mile-an-hour fastball to the ribs of Josh Donaldson today, if he's in the lineup, Brian. That's old school. That's old school, right? And well, who do we have as a manager?
Yeah. And
the most old school manager ever.
Old school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that might make everyone feel better for the moment, the day, whatever. It doesn't change the White Sox state of affairs.
No. And the thing, right? That's exactly why they shouldn't do it, because we don't have a winning record. We don't have time to play around. We can't have Cueto kicked out for a vendetta. 312-332-3776. Yep.
Here's the other part of that, Mark.
Yep.
Whatever we think of Josh Donaldson, like him, despise him, have no time for him, MLB.com did a list of the 10 best moves made from the offseason. Weighing in at number 10 was the Yankees acquiring Josh Donaldson. The only mention of the White Sox in here is the San Francisco Giants signing Carlos Rodon.
And that's the wrong kind of mention.
That goes to my That's right. I mean, that goes to my bigger question about actually baseball question. Have the White Sox done enough to position this team after an early exit from the playoffs last year to be better this year and to have a better season, a better postseason, and get you closer to actually winning a World Series?
And at this point, if anybody thinks that there's clear evidence that they have, I'm not sure what they're watching.
Right. And so I would love to hear from Sox fans, 312-332-3776. I mean, as you watch this team, beyond your frustration, do you think they're good enough? And if they're not good enough, I mean, Juan Soto, you know, everyone's trying to, you know, whether the Nationals are going to trade him and they're trying to sell the team, and will they trade him before the team sold, and should they? But he's a 23-year-old superstar, supposedly turned down a 13-year, $350 million contract to Scott Boras as his agent. I mean, you have a bunch of teams that are, you know, put together, if you want to play fantasy baseball, you know, who couldn't use Juan Soto? Should the White Sox be thinking, you know, blockbuster move like that at some point to position themselves to actually win a World Series? Or is this group, as comprised by Rick Hahn, good enough? Is it good enough to actually fulfill the expectations most of us had going into the season?
I think anybody that's really paying attention that thinks that you have to strike while the iron's hot, they have to do something.
Yep.
What they have done to this point has not been enough. 312-332-3776. Paulie in Lake Forest wants to jump in. Hey, Paulie, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, great show. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a little disappointed with the way Anderson and the Sox reacted. It was a perfect time for them to turn their season around mentally by not doing a thing. And anybody who's played baseball, especially at this level, knows that it's one big rip fest, whether it's meant or not. It's the worst kind of ribbing. Nobody knows unless you've played the game, and everybody that's listened has played. Okay, so you got to take the ribbing. They had an opportunity to not do anything. Anderson could have gone in, told the manager. The manager, if he is as affronted as he appears to be, would have nailed Donaldson the next time he came up, right in the ribs. And you would have made a statement as to who we are as men. Not that we got to go out now on social media, make a big deal about it, call him a racist. Donaldson's from Pensacola. You think he cares if you call him a racist?
Well, look, Paulie. First of all, Anderson didn't say anything until Grandal stepped in. Grandal was sticking up for his teammate. So that was the order of operations. Thanks for the call. That kind of came down. So, yes, ribbing is part of it. But, Brian, I would say this, right? As we said, there's many other words that you could have used. And if Donaldson is saying that he's clueless as to using that reference, Jackie, as possibly being a racist comment. Now, again, you may not agree that it is, but it was directed at Tim, and he's the one that gets to tell you how he felt receiving that.
Right. Hold on.
Now, that's up to Tim. Now, Grandal took offense to it, had something to say. That's how we found out about it. If Grandal didn't do that, maybe we don't know about this. Maybe this would have been kept in the background. But if Josh is coming up and saying, yeah, I've said this before and it should have been okay or whatever, you know, it's enough on the line to have said, look, Tim may take it this way. And you have to believe, I guess, Donaldson and his explanation. Knowing this guy, I don't.
Well, I actually buy his explanation. I don't think it dismisses what happened, but I believe that he has said it before. The way he explained himself, it doesn't make it right, but I believe I don't think he just concocted that story out of whole cloth. Now, if I'm Aaron Judge, how do I feel about that? Right?
That is a great point. That is a great point.
Do I want to share a clubhouse with this guy? You know,
right.
Do I want to ask him to explain himself yet again? And he said he explained to his teammates, you know, what he said and what he meant and what he didn't mean by it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, but if you're a teammate, is that good enough? I mean, if you're the Yankees, is that good enough? But from a baseball perspective, they're happy that he's in a Yankee uniform just for what he brings to the table talent-wise, right?
Yep.
So,
but if MLB comes down with a suspension, or they have to avoid playing him in the first game or both games because of this, he's compromising his team. So
absolutely.
How smart is that?
I correct on all accounts.
Yep.
But I think beyond this incident, the White Sox have, you know, bigger concerns than
they do.
Whether Josh Donaldson's a racist or not. Their concern is they can't beat winning teams, and they've been a hovering around 500. Pretty much for the entire year. And if the defense isn't failing, the offense has been there not to you know, score with runners in scoring position, 3-for-13 and 9 guys left on base and averaging less than 4 runs per game. And meanwhile, you know, the bullpen is overtaxed and it's been good. And, you know, your starting pitching has been good enough, but for Dallas Keuchel, you know, reverting back to Dallas Keuchel. And look, that LeMahieu grand slam would have been an easy out in 99% of the other ballparks.
Yes, and there's another thing. Although, I mean, you know, yes, we could say that, but it doesn't matter. It happened where it happened.
No, it doesn't matter.
And that was the
where
problem. Yes, that was the problem. And you're right. Look, the storyline is what it is. It's just that this is such a big story. This is such a big deal. And there are going to be some sort of reverberations, whether minor or major, today. And we'll see what that looks like. You know, who knows? All I know is, as a Sox fan, Donaldson is easy to dislike, and this isn't the first time. So it's good to have an enemy. That's fine. And if this is a rallying cry, if Grandal coming up and doing that, and this ends up being a rallying cry to get these guys to play together as a team with some sort of spirit and make it more interesting, more fun to watch, as we've talked about, there are some fans that feel like it's not a fun product to watch. Well, then great, because in the end, it's just words. However, I can't sit here and say, well, Tim shouldn't have judged it that way, or TLR, or Grandal. And it's really up to them to judge it the way they will. I think it would be foolish to throw at him if he's in the lineup today, because we don't have a winning record. We don't have time to lose. We have to win games.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're Grandal, too, you know, don't go 4 for your last, 18, 20, whatever it is. You know, how about helping out the club? It's great to stand up for a teammate.
Well, that's only one part of it, yes. Let's deliver
on the field. You want to show up more often than you have in terms of, you know, actually helping the team win some games, you know, for what you're paying the guy.
And I want to throw in here, too, and we're going to come back with a few phone calls, and then we'll talk to Jesse at the top of the hour. Josh Donaldson is an easy target right now, but driving in, I thought, you know what? There have been baseball players that have come to play in Wrigley Field on opposing team or on the south side that – Chicagoans, whether you're a fan of the White Sox or the Cubs, just love to hate. And if you have one of those names, because I have one from the South Side that I'll share, 312-332-3776. We're here until noon. If you have a name to share that is just an opposing player that you just love to hate, now I know on the North Side, A.J. Persinski is persona non grata, and the anniversary was just the other day because it was all over social media.
There were guys in his own clubhouse that didn't like A.J. Persinski.
Yes, well, that's true. That's true. But he had a long career, and I don't know what ever happened to Michael Barrett. So, you know what? I mean, that's the truth, right?
Right. Michael Barrett used to always tell you what he did in the offseason. He was doing CrossFit and Taekwondo, and he had all these, you know, great grand plans in the offseason was going to make him a better player, and how'd that work out for him?
Right, right. Short career. Meanwhile, AJ played for everybody twice. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back taking your phone calls. And again, we'll talk to Jesse Rogers at the top of the hour. This is ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and on the ESPN Chicago app, a comprehensive app that's got an incredible amount of content free for your iPhone or Android. It's Xander and Brian Hanley here on ESPN 1000. Brian, the White Sox lineup is out. We do have the Yankees lineup.
There we go.
What do you know? Donaldson is at third base in game one. Interesting.
Because he makes that team better. And until they are told that he can't play, apparently they're not going to take a stand against him.
Okay. Tim Anderson is opening up the game at short. Leury Garcia, second base, batting two. Luis Robert, centered field, batting three. Jose DH in cleanup. AJ Pollock in left field. And he's batting fifth, sixth, catching Yasmani Grandal, Gavin Sheets at first base, batting seventh, Adam Engel in right field, batting eighth and ninth is Josh Harrison, who had a double yesterday. So, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of goes down, because, again, whether you want this to be a story or not, it's a story. It's a big story, and I think a lot of old school baseball fans, I get that this is uncomfortable. You don't want it to be a story, but this is a younger person's game. And, yeah, you know, these are things that are popping up, unfortunately. We've got Al in Portage Park here on ESPN 1000 wants to jump in. Hey, Al, you're on with Xander and Hanley.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. As
right on.
Hey, you know, whatever Josh Dial said, you know, he knows what was in his heart when he said it. And, you know, I'm certainly not going to sit here and tell Tim Anderson how to feel. You know, he knows how he felt as to what was said to him. So, you know, those are his feelings. But what I wanted to say was a contributing factor might have been last week. Wasn't there an incident where Donaldson spiked him or stepped on his
hand? Well, yeah, he pushed him off a third and put a knee to his head trying to, in a pickoff attempt. And and it was an aggressive move, and Tim got up and kind of pushed him, and the ump very, very well played. The ump got between him and defused the situation. So, yeah, there's history there. And there's history with Giolito last year.
Right, right. So I figured something might have been brewing, it carried over to this week. But, I thought there was an incident last week. I just wanted to, you know, kind of chime in. But
where are you on the state of the Sox right now?
So I'm a big Sox fan. I look at it like this. You know, the team has had a lot of injuries. Don't want to make excuses, but, you know, the team that's been playing over the past couple months has not been the team we all expected to do great and had these high expectations. So I figure by the end of the season, you know, most of the players should get back, and, then we'll see, you know, what this team really is, and just hope for a progression from last year.
Thanks, Al. We appreciate it. Yeah, you know, Al's got a good point. You know, the White Sox last year had a pretty decent start, and things didn't look as great as they were toward the end. Will the Yankees be firing on all cylinders all season long? You know, it's a long grind.
Yeah,
and we'll see. And you know, thankfully, we're almost to June now, and we can't say it's really early anymore.
No, quarter of the season's in the books, practically. Right. 39 games.
And as you said, Tony said that he was going to handle it, you know, hitter by hitter. And the main problem is now, as we saw yesterday in Yankee Stadium, we got hits. We just could not capitalize on putting people on base. And that is the problem, the glaring problem on the offensive side. You know, besides the lack of home runs, but I think a lot of people are dealing with that to a certain degree. 312-332-3776. So if, with Josh in the lineup, I don't want, as old school as I am, I definitely don't want to see anything stupid happen. I like to see them just kind of move ahead because we can't afford to retaliate and cost us a game. Look at our record. We can't afford it.
Well, and you know, warnings were given to both teams yesterday. The warnings will be given at when there's exchanging lineups today.
Yes, they will. So, right away.
But does that stop Tony from, you know, directing? You know, does it happen right away? Does it happen if the game?
Well, Tony was pretty fired up. If you listen to the emotion of all three of those, Grandal and Anderson and Tony was really fired up.
Right. But
we'll see what happens today if that results in anything. Hopefully not again, because it just doesn't make a lot of common sense in the context of trying to win a couple of games from the Yankees. The best team.
Go ahead and sweep a doubleheader on their home field, and
that'll
do it. Pay for it.
Yeah. That'll do it. That's nice payback. Absolutely. 312-332-3776. It was nice after the Grandal confrontation that Josh struck out. I did like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I wish it didn't happen. I believe Josh Donaldson when he said he's called him that since that article came out and didn't get a reaction, but he got one yesterday, certainly. So MLB is going to have to issue some disciplinary. I'd be shocked if they didn't.
And as I mentioned before, the fact is that he kept pursuing him, and he's done this multiple times before. That's a little whack. That ain't right.
No, it ain't right, but he's a hell of a baseball player.
You know what, Brian? I know that you said that, but he's playing for the Yankees. I can care less. He's a D-back.
Well, I know, and I'm thinking of guys that irritated me back in the day, like Al Rabowski for the Cardinals when he, you know, walked around the mound.
Yeah, yeah, we had said that,
And slam his mitt instead of just pitching the damn ball. But, I mean, he knew how to get people in the stands upset and how to get the Cubs upset. I mean,
and it's a tactic. It's a tactic.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, there are guys that just do it the way they play the game, let alone what they say, right? I mean, there are guys who just, you know, as much as you hated them because they usually did damage to your team.
312-332-3776. The name that I was going to bring up because we threw this out, was there a player that you hated to see come to Wrigley or Comiskey back in the day? For you, Al Hrabowski, which I remember, he had that Fu Manchu mustache.
Yep,
he was a bit of a nut. Torrey Hunter, do you remember Torrey Hunter?
Sure.
He was the guy that openly said that he would not come to the White Sox. He made some ridiculous comment, like he hated the Sox. We were trying to get, acquire him, and he made a public comment that he would never play here. So he took his lumps every time he was in right field for the Angels. So Torrey Hunter was not welcome on the South Side for sure.
Yeah. And being a Hawks fan, you remember, you know, the Dino sucks chance.
No matter which
jersey he was wearing, right? Yeah. So
we love to hate Wendell Clark and Bob Probert until we RIP Rob, until we got him. Then we love
the tail end of their careers, yeah.
Yep. 312-332-3776. We're up against the break. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk to Jesse Rogers about the Northsiders, the Southsiders, and the obvious storyline on the South Side out in New York here when we come back. It's ESPN 1000.